Muslims. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans, and I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio and this program, today's special, salam and welcome to this program on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hadi, peace be upon him. Dear Shia brothers and sisters, please accept our condolences on this morning day. Please accept our deepest condolences on this sorrowful day. Today, Saturday, is the third of the month of Rajab, 1443, of the Islamic lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 16th of Bahman, 1400 of the Islamic solar heatry calendar and the 5th of February 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We offer our condolences to all Shia brothers and sisters all around the world.
Allahumma salli ala
Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam suffered pressing misfortunes and distresses from the Abbasid tyrants. They spared no effort in oppressing and harming him. Al-Mutawakkil was the most spiteful towards Imam al-Hadi, peace be upon him, from among all the Abbasid caliphs. He oppressed him too much. He moved the Imam from Medina to Samarra in Iraq and imposed on him house arrest and surrounded his house with policemen who watched even his breath. Imam al-Hadi, peace be upon him, became a heavy burden on al-Mu'tamid, the Abbasid caliph, after he saw people talk about the virtues, knowledge, asceticism and piety of the Imam and prefer him to all other Muslim ulama, scholars. He became angry and envious and spiteful against the Imam. His ill will led him to commit the worst crime in Islam. He inserted fatal poison to the Imam, who after having the poison kept to bed. The poison reached in all his body and he suffered intolerable pains. The Shia and the notables of the state visited him and all were covered with deep sorrow. Dear brothers and sisters, this program, today's special, offers its condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hadi, peace be upon him. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bainastain. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the martyrdom anniversary of the 10th infallible Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam. In the beginning, it must be indicated that among the valuable legacies we have inherited from the 10th infallible Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam, there are two ziyarat texts. Okay, one of them is Ziyarat Ghadiriyya, I mean the ziyarat text that's expected to be recited on the day of Ghadir Khum, and it was the same ziyarat text that Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam recited it by the tomb of the first infallible Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam in Najaf. And the other one is Ziyarat Jame Kabire. The Ziyarat Jame Kabire, in it, from the beginning up to the end, the praiseworthy qualifications of the infallible Imams are highlighted. Both in the Ziyarat Ghadiriyya and in Ziyarat Jame Kabire, many important characteristics can be noticed. One of them is divine unicity, tawheed, then the philosophy of prophethood in order to rescue people from absolute and abysmal knowledge. And more importantly, the third one is that no human community may excel without the guardianship of an infallible Imam. And the points and characteristics of imamate, and especially the imamate of the first infallible Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, is highlighted in all these ziyarat texts. Okay, in every single phrase included in these ziyarat texts. Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam was taken from Medina to Samarra because the leading Abbasid hegemony over there wanted to watch Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam's activities. And then Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam tried to train some people, some of the reliable people, as their own representatives or delegates in various cities. And by this way, and in this way, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam was paving the ground for Muslims, and specifically for the Shiite community, to get ready for the occultation of the 12th infallible Imam, who was his grandson. Thank you.
As-salamu alaykum. يا أهل بيت النبوة يا أهل بيت النبوة يا أهل بيت النبوة.
Imam Hadi groomed many scholars from various lands and prepared them for the crucial period of the Ghaybah or occultation of his grandson, the promised Mahdi, the last savior. May Allah hasten his reappearance. Things, however, changed with the seizure of the caliphate by the tyrant Mutawakkil, who was a bitter enemy of the Ahlul Bayt. Fearful of the popularity of Imam Hadi alayhi salam, he forced him to leave Medina and come to Samarra in Iraq. The Imam had no choice, but on the way he stopped in Baghdad, where huge congregations came out to greet him as the Prophet's heir. He also visited the tomb of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, in the city of Najaf in Iraq, and saluted him with a worthy salutations and ziyarah that is recited till this day by the faithfuls. A passage from the Siyara reads, O Allah, bless your guardian, the custodian of your religion, the executor of justice after your prophet, Ali ibn Abi Talib, the commander of the true believers, the imam of the pious, the master of the guardians, the successor of your prophet over the whole people, his guardian in life and religion, the great truthful, the distinguisher between the halal and the haram, the supporter of Islam, the destroyer of idols, and the assistant and defender of religion. In Samarra, the caliph tried to ridicule the imam, but on every occasion he was overawed by the personality of the prophet's righteous heir and forced to show respect. On the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hadi, peace be upon him, we offer our condolences to all Shia brothers and sisters, to all Muslims all around the world.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid.
The continuation of this program, today's special, under the title of Guiding the Deviant. Imam al-Hadi, peace be upon him, cared much for guiding the deviants who digressed from the truth. From among those whom Imam al-Hadi, peace be upon him, had guided was al-Hasan al-Basri, who was a Waqifit from the sect of Waqifiyah. Once Imam al-Hadi met him and said to him, until when is this slumber? Is it not yet time for you to awake? These words affected him deeply, and so he turned back to the truth and guidance. Imam al-Hadi warned his companions and all Muslims from associating and mixing with Sufis because they were a source of error and deviation to people. They affected asceticism to seduce simple and naive people. Imam Hadi turned towards his companions and said to them, do not pay attention to these deceivers, for they are allies of the devils and destroyers of the bases of religion. They become ascetic to relieve their bodies and watch to herd cattle. They do not practice rites except to deceive people, and do not decrease food except to cheat the foolish. Their worship is but dancing and clapping, and their praises are but singing.
مختلف الملائكة ومهبة
The story of Umar ibn al-Faraj is very interesting. There were two brothers. One was Umar ibn al-Faraj, the other one was Muhammad ibn al-Faraj. One of them was the closest companion of the Imam, and this Umar was the worst enemy of the Imam. Two brothers in the same family. And this Umar ibn al-Faraj was actually the minister of dirty jobs, I call it. whatever dirty job the caliph wanted to do, he assigned it to this Umar al-Faraj. Go and do this, go kill this person. Now, he's come on this Umar al-Faraj and said, you go to Medina, find a teacher which has animosity towards Ali and Ahlul Bayt, and put Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam under his care. No one should see them, no one should visit him, and that's why for a few years there is no need of Imam al-Hadi. He took him to a village and started to teach him there until the demise of someone would change the whole situation. Umar ibn al-Faraj went to Medina and went to the ruler of Medina and said, this is my assignment by caliph. I want someone who's very knowledgeable, but very antagonistic to Ahlul Bayt. He said, we have a right man here. There was a man called Junaidi. He is respected by all scholars in literature, in Quran, in everything. And he is one of the worst enemies of Bani Hashim and Ahlul Bayt. So he started. This hadith is reported by a man called Muhammad ibn Ja'far, who was actually following the fate of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. He says that after a while, almost a year, there was no news of Imam al-Hadi. And once I saw this Junaidi in Medina, I went close to him and said, how is this boiling? Didn't want to show that he has some sort of affiliation with Shias and Imams. I asked him, how is this boiling? He said, you call him boy, I call him Sheikh. Because I didn't think that anyone in the world knows the Arabic literature better than me. But whenever I start to teach him one chapter of literature, he gives me 1,000 concepts of that chapter, which I'm just dazzled and amazed. How does he know this? And when he wants to come into the room so that I teach him, I stop him and I say, you recite your Quran first and then come in. You know, he was a boy of 7 years old. And he tells me which surah you want me to recite. And I tell him one of the long surahs. And he recites it with the most correct recitation. He said, okay, good for you. And then he disappeared. And next year I saw him again. And I said, how's the boy doing? This Hashimi boy, how is he doing? He became angry. And he told me, you are insulting him. He's not a boy. He's a teacher. He's an ustaz. And I am his student now. And then he became one of the followers of Ahlul Bayt. That's very interesting.
Ya Aba al-Hasan, Ya Ali ibn Muhammad, Ayyuha al-Hadi al-Nabi, Ya ibn Rasulullah,
that was all for today's special. Our time is over now. We express our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam al-Hadi, peace be upon him. We leave you in Allah's protection.
يا وجيها عند الله اشفع لنا عند الله.
Food for thought.
Salam friends, and heartfelt condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Ali al-Naqi al-Hadi, peace upon him, the 10th infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Let us listen to a thought-provoking aphorism from him. Allah has made this world for trial and tribulation, while he has made afterlife for receiving the result. He has also made the misfortunes of this world because of gaining the rewards of the hereafter, and made the rewards of the life to come as the compensation for the misfortunes of this world.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Aqa on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Thank you for joining us here today. Today on Hadith of the Day, we would like to offer our condolences to our listeners, all of the people of the world, all of the lovers of wisdom, all of the Muslims, and especially the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, on the demise and martyrdom of Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam. Today we're going to be looking at some traditions from the Imams, specifically Imam Jawad alayhi salam, regarding Imam Hadi. Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam said, "Certainly the Imam after me is my son Ali. His command is my command. His word is my word. Obedience to him is obedience to me, and the imamat after him will rest with his son Al-Hasan." This is one of the traditions narrated from Imam Jawad regarding his son Imam Hadi. A very interesting story has been narrated in a book regarding Imam Hadi. In the book Al-Wahida, it has been narrated, the following has been narrated. "My brother Hussein ibn Muhammad narrated, saying, I had a friend who used to teach the child of Bagha or Wasif. He said to me, the governor on his return from the Caliph's palace, said the following to me: "Today the Commander of the Faithful has imprisoned this person known as Ibn al-Ridha, the son of Riza, and has handed him over to Ali ibn Karkar. And I heard him say, 'I am dearer to Allah than the she-camel of Saleh.'" So the Caliph, he imprisoned Imam Hadi alayhi salam, and when the person who had arrested him handed him over to the person who was going to imprison him, the Imam said, "I am dearer to Allah than the she-camel of Saleh." Then the Imam recited the following verse of the Holy Quran: "So enjoy yourselves in your homes for 3 days. That is a promise not untrue." Meaning the Imam implied that in 3 days something was going to happen to these people who had imprisoned him. The person narrating this tradition in continuation says, "What he meant by that verse or by his speech is not clear. He said, 'I said, may Allah increase your honor. He has made a threat,'" meaning the Imam threatened these people that in 3 days something was going to happen to him. "Now, let us see what would happen after 3 days." This person says, the Imam said this, "Let's see what would happen after 3 days. The next day, the Caliph freed Ibn al-Rizah," meaning he freed Imam Hadi, "and apologized to the Imam. However, on the third day, Yaghiz, Yaghlun, and Tamish, and a group of people with them assaulted him and killed him," meaning they killed the caliph, "and instated Al-Muntasir, his son, as the caliph." So the caliph freed the imam, apologized to him, but as the imam had foretold, he was killed 3 days after the caliph had imprisoned him. This is one of the beautiful miracles of Imam Hadi alayhi salam. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We again wish you condolences on the martyrdom of Imam Hadi. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Oh Lord, here I am pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد واجعل فرجهم.
Okay, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, thank you so much. Welcome back. We were talking about when should we read the word Allah heavily and when should we pronounce it softly or lightly. So we said if there is a fatha, I mean any letter with fatha, and then the word Allah comes, the word Allah must be pronounced heavily. Allah, understood Mahdi?
But mim don't have any.
Allah, Allah, for example Tallah, for example Jallah, for example. Okay,
but okay, here we don't have any. Before, meme don't have any harakat.
Yeah, right? Here, no. Not. Yeah, we don't have here, okay? But because we have to start, we start the ayah with it, okay? We put a fatha on the top of it.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And also, if I will give you more examples, okay? And remember the rules first. Remember the rules, okay, Hadi? Okay. Fatha. A word ends with Fatha, then Allah. So Allah must be pronounced heavily.
Allah.
And Dhamma. If Fatha is not there, okay, Dhamma instead of Fatha. Allah, for example.
Allah.
Allah. Oh. Oh, then Allah, you have to pronounce the Allah heavily. But if kasra comes,
Allah. Illa.
No, no. Allah. I mean, you pronounce, look the way you pronounce. Allah. Allah. Mahdi?
Allah.
Allah. Allah. Why do you say Allah? Why Allah?
Sir, we only pronounce the name softly. We never.
Yeah. Like, because of what?
Like,
because of the harakat that comes before it. What, when you start, what do you say?
Bismillah.
You don't say Bismillah. Why? Because
Bismillah.
Yeah. Look at the Quran. Look at this page. Look at the page. Bismillah. Look, Hadi, look. Bismillah. Then Allah, the word Allah comes. So, Mahdi, what does Mim have? Bismillah. What does Mim have? Harakat?
Bismillah.
Kasra. Then the word Allah comes.
No.
So when Kasra is there, then the word Allah?
Bismillah.
Okay, Bismillah.
Because there is no Kasra on the last word. That's why.
Oh, no, no. The last letter before Allah.
See, Allah? No, no. Like here. There is no Kasra on the last word. It's the first word.
It is the first word of the ayah. You have, when it comes at the first.
If it is the first word.
If it is the first, you put a fatha on the top of the alif of Allah. So that's why you recited Allah heavily. Okay, Mahdi?
Alif of Allah.
So alhamdu, what do you recite Surah Al-Fatiha? Alhamdu
lillah.
Alhamdu lillah. Lay has kasra. Lillah, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Next one, in this ayah, third line, go to the third line.
One, two,
third line, the center of the third line, middle. Inna alladhina kafaru bi ayati kasra. How do you I have to say that? Third line, middle of third line.
Ayati.
Yeah, bi ayati kasra. Then the word Allah. How should I do it?
Ayatullah.
Allah or Allah?
Allah. No.
Kasra. Kasra we have. Bi ayatillahi.
Bi ayatillahi.
Okay. Next one. Go on. Lahum adhabun shadid wa fatha then Allah.
Wallahu.
Say it.
Wallahu.
Say it. Fatha we have.
Wallah.
No, no. Wallah. Say L.
No.
No, no. The heavy one.
Heavy.
Say L in English. L.
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 The tongue. The tongue must touch the upper side of your mouth.
L.
L. Wallah. Heavily. With full mouth. With full mouth. Wallah.
Wallah.
Minhal Hussein. Not this way.
Wallah.
Don't open. Hey. Open your mouth vertically.
See? Wallah. See.
With full mouth. With full mouth. No, no.
Wallah.
With full mouth. Full mouth.
Wallah.
Wallah.
So like
this.
Wallah.
Say Allah.
Allah.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
So, if there is a kasra, okay, you have to pronounce it softly. Bismillah, Alhamdulillah. But if you have fatha or dhamma, you have to pronounce it heavily.
So,
if there is a dhamma, we'll find the example, okay?
Allah.
Yes.
Sir,
inshallah. If we found, okay, I will tell you. So let's get back to math. Yes, we were talking about
math.
Math. I will recite. I will read some words. You have to repeat after me. Okay. One, two, three. Tahadduna.
Tahadduna.
Waladdallin.
Waladdallin.
Mazullin.
Brothers and sisters, this sound, a stretched one, is called mad. Next one. As-sa-kha-tu.
As-sa-kha-tu.
Al-ha-kha-tu.
Al-ha-kha-tu.
Was-sa-ma-i.
Was-sa-ma-i.
Ka-fa. This mad is called mad lazim or necessary mad. You have to make the to make the recitation. Okay, we must stretch the sound for 6 counts, sometimes 4 counts. Understood?
And 5.
So did you learn the mad?
Yeah.
So recite a salawat.
Allahumma
salli ala Muhammad
wa ala Muhammad.
قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
So there is one surah that has a lot of math. Do you know what surah is that?
Yes.
What is it? Suratul Ma'un, right? Ara'aytal ladhi. There is one mat.
Suratul
Deen. Deen.
What's that?
Al-Imran. We're just practicing it, right?
Yes.
Sir,
sir.
Also mad.
La uqsimu bihaza al-balad.
Okay. Go to page. Just a second. Go to page. Surah Rahman, page 531.
Yes.
Yes. Inshallah, we will recite this surah. Okay. We'll practice if we found any mud, if we meet any mud, we'll practice it, okay? Surah Ar-Rahman.
31.
Ar-Rahman.
علم القرآن
علم القرآن
علم القرآن
علم القرآن
خلق الإنسان
خلق الإنسان
علمه البيان
علمه البيان
الشمس والقمر بحسبان
الشمس والقمر بحسبان
والنجم والشجر يسجدان
والنجم والشجر
بحسجد والنجم والشجر
يسجدان
والسماء رفعها
والسماء
والسماء رفعها
والسماء رفعها
والسماء رفعها
والسماء رفعها
ووضع الميزان
ووضع الميزان
ألا تطغوا
ألا تطغوا
في الميزان
في الميزان
وأقيموا الوزن
وأقيموا الوزن
بالقسط
بالقسط
ولا تخسروا الميزان
ولا تخسروا الميزان
والأرض وضعها للأنام
للأنام
فيها فاكهة
فيها فاكهة
والنخل ذات الأكمام
والنخل ذات الأكمام
والحب
والحب
ذو العصف والريحان
ذو العصف والريحان
from now on we have mad okay we have a lot okay till the end of this surah we have alai
repeated this surah is big
no some of them will recite okay thank you so much dear Muslim brothers and sisters for being with us we really thank IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International School Network our students our friends here Mahdi Al-Husseinan Hadina Qawi Muhammad Sayyid Muhammad Hadina Qawi Sayyid Muhammad Yahya Jafari Minha Al-Hussein Nasir Yakhruju Minha Al-Lulu Wal-Marjan okay so let's recite a salawat inshallah we'll meet you again Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraja
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
The Ocean of Dua
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua.
In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Allahumma azma bala'i wa afrat bi suhali wa qasrat bi a'mali wa qa'adat bi aghlali wa habasani an naf'i bu'du amali وخدعتني الدنيا بغرورها ونفسي بجنايتها.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, in this part of the Kumail supplication, says, Allahumma adhuma bala'i, O Allah, my tribulation is tremendous. Wa afrata bi su'u hali, my bad state is excessive. وَقَصُرَتْ بِأَعْمَالِي, my acts are inadequate. وَقَعَدَتْ بِأَغْلَالِي, and my fetters have tied me down. Regarding the first part about the word bala or tribulation, we mentioned three different meanings from the insightful servants. About سُوءُ حَالِي, or the bad state that Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions in this part, we also discussed about so many factors, and about the part وَقَصُرَتْ بِأَعْمَالِي, my acts are inadequate. In the previous episode, we somehow concluded that even if we think that we have done all the obligatory deeds, even if we think that we have fulfilled our promises to the Almighty Allah, we have to be aware of our understanding, our desires, and in fact our true intentions. Did we have sincerity in all our intentions, in all our actions or not? If we have done some of our actions, some of our deeds with dullness, with jealousy or with pride, the question is it really possible that these kinds of deeds with stinginess or insincerity, can they really help us in reaching salvation? Can they help us to be freed from our misfortunes? This is what we have to consider in about our inadequacies of acts.
Oh Allah, my trials and sufferings have increased and my evilness has worsened. My good deeds have diminished and my misdeeds have become firm. And remote hopes restrain me from profiting with good deeds. And the world has deceived me with its allurements, and my own self has been affected by treachery and my delay. Therefore, my Lord, I ask you by your greatness not to let my sins and my misdeeds veil my supplications from you, and not to disgrace me by exposing those of which you have knowledge, nor to hasten my retribution for those vices and misdeeds committed by me in secret, which were due to evil-mindedness, ignorance, excessive lustfulness, and my negligence. Thank you, Allah, God, that we here feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
Next, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, وَقَعَدَتْ بِأَغْلَالِي, my fetters have tied me down. In this part, Imam alayhi salam mentions the restrictive fetters or chains that have somehow blocked us from continuing our path. The insightful servants and the seekers of truth, explaining about the phrase, my fetters have tied me down, have stated that perhaps my fetters or the bonds or chains, means the sins, and especially major sins, that restrict all human beings. And it is possible that the fetters are talking about these major sins that tie human beings down. The sins prevent the human beings from worshipping, from serving Allah, from having sincere servitude. These kinds of sins deprive all human beings from Almighty Allah's blessings. An evidence of this is an important tradition narrated from Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam. Someone told Imam Ali alayhi salam, "I used to perform the night prayers and the nafilas, but I can no longer do so." Imam alayhi salam said, in a very interesting sentence, "Anta rajulun qad qayyadatka dhunubuk." You are a person whose sins have become his fetters, tying him down, preventing him from night worshipping. So this is what exactly we mean by talking about restrictive fetters. From what do they stop us? How do they actually restrict us? In this tradition, one aspect was mentioned. أَنْتَ رَجُلٌ قَدْ قَيَّدَتْكَ ذُنُوبُكَ. This, such a person, can no longer perform night prayers and nafilas because of his own dhunub, because of his own sins. There is another possibility, that the fetters are useless entertainments and activities which prevent human beings from paying attention to the more important and real purposes of their lives. In tradition, from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is mentioned, "من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعنيه." One of the good things a Muslim should observe is the abandoning of those activities that are of no use to him. This seems to be apparently the higher level of what was said in the first meaning. We shouldn't always think about the sins stopping us from reaching salvation, from doing recommended deeds. Sometimes even the deeds that are not really haram, or they're not called sins, can stop us from reaching salvation. تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِيهِ. The abandoning of the activities that are of no use to us means we have to prioritize our activities in our daily lives for reaching salvation and the station of closeness to the Almighty Allah's mercy. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you through all my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
This is IRIB English Radio. please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en. This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Shuma dar in qarn mo'jiza kardid. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است.
الله اکبر خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر خمینی رهبر.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello and welcome to our audience, and a particularly warm welcome to our regular listeners of our program, The Man Who Changed the World. And I'm your host on this program, Ijaz Hussain. Once again, I'm joined by Dr. Mahdi Tarabi, who's been giving us wonderful insights on various aspects of this great man's life. And of course, it's a program dedicated to his memory. And may God bless his great soul. And Dr. Mahdi Tarabi, salam and welcome to the program, first of all.
Alaykum salam rahmatullah. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. Dr. Mahdi Tarabi, we're talking about economic pressure on Iran.
Yes.
And how the Imam, may God bless his great soul, dealt with that.
Yes. How do you think he dealt with it?
I think he dealt with it beautifully by saying that, you know, we'll create a great wall around Iran and let us grow our own food, if that's the correct quotation.
He actually
quotation.
Said, if they wall us.
If they wall us.
If they put a big wall, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Allah will send his rain, we'll grow our own food.
Allah will send his rain and grow. I mean, this is wonderful. It comes right out of the Quranic text. I mean, he's taken me back to several very important stories in the Quran where, you know, Allah is the rizq giver, isn't it? I mean, that's the thing. I mean, this is where we as Muslims, you know, sometimes
are
we
weak.
Wonder.
Are
weak. Yeah, exactly. We don't have enough trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yet, He is the one. There's a wonderful passage somewhere where Prophet Abraham says to his followers, I don't mean to digress, but we're basically talking about, he says, He is the one who created me. When I was sick, he gave me health. When I was hungry, he fed me. You know, there's some verses like this, which I know I went through. And they're beautiful in terms of who it is that really raises you and who is the one who really sustains you. And of course, that's what we shouldn't lose sight of. And this is what the Imam points out over and over again, because he's his beloved. Imam Khomeini, God bless his soul, loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.